Thank you, Vic. I greet all you non-campers this morning. As I was preparing this sermon, it kind of evolved and changed and back and forth, and I was drawn to scriptures out of the Book of Mormon. Well-known verses, well-known scriptures, but I'm going to rehearse them to you this morning because for the most part, these were the last words or the last messages that were given by, I don't know how you describe this, powerful men that we look up to, and always, when there is a message given by these, a closing message, it's most important. The most important message that we can receive, because it was delivered to a group of people because of their concern for their souls. And what it really amounts to is that. And I'm going to turn to the 13th chapter of the second book of Nephi, which you probably know without turning to it. It describes the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Nephi, who's delivering this, the doctrine of King Benjamin, that I'll quote later. This is ours. And it is not exclusively ours. If you read this 13th chapter, you're going to find the majority of Christians, true believers of other churches, believe this too. This is, for the most part, if not not entirely, but for the most part, it's their doctrine. We have this. They have this in common with us, and vice versa. These most important words. So I'm going to begin. And now I, Nephi, make an end of my prophesying unto you, my beloved brethren. And I cannot write but a few things which I know must surely come to pass. Neither can I write but a few of the words of my brother Jacob. Wherefore, the things which I have written sufficeth me, save it be a few words which I must speak. Okay. I honestly believe what he's saying here. Two things. He must speak them because they're of such importance. I believe he was also led by the Holy Ghost to speak these words. So it's for us. And it's for him. He is following the direction of that Holy Ghost that was in him concerning the doctrine of Christ. Wherefore, I shall speak unto you plainly, according to the plainness of my prophesying. For my soul delighteth in plainness, for after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. Plain. Simple, no confusion of what is going to be said. You know, we can have differences in points of the gospel. But in what I'm about to read, there is no room for differences. This is it. And I have no doubt in my mind, as I look out amongst this group of non-campers, that this, there would be no difference in your take of it and my take of it. So I'll go on. For the Lord giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language and their understanding. You don't have to be bright, which I'm not. You don't have to be have an IQ of 130, 40, 50 to understand this. The simplest among us can understand this doctrine. Wherefore, I would that you should remember that I have spoken to you concerning that prophet which the Lord showed in me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh, then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesses unto the Father that he would be obedient in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove, and again it showeth the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, having set an example before them, and he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. He's talking about baptism, right? Talking about baptism, strictly baptism here. And we, as I look out, almost all of you that are of age have followed that example, that you've been baptized. Most, not all of my friends that are of the Christian persuasion, that go to other churches, have been baptized. Now they may think we know the correct method, but they have been baptized. Most of them through immersion. It's important. Most of them, all of them, claim to receive the Holy Ghost, as we have after baptism. May not have had hands laid upon them. May not have had that. We know the way that we were given instruction. But I want you to think about that for a little bit. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. If you go to the second chapter of Acts, we look at the Holy Ghost that descended upon those disciples. They didn't have hands laid upon them for it, but they received it. They received it. I'm not going to say that we shouldn't have hands laid upon us for that, because we know the correct way. It's in the scriptures. We read it. We know it. But they don't have the same blessings. They haven't received the same blessings that you and I have through the Book of Mormon. But I believe that they've received of that Spirit. Where was I? 13. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can ye follow Jesus, save you are willing to keep the commandments of the Father, as he kept the commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me and do the things which you have seen me do. Another element, isn't it? We know that Jesus received, descended on him in the form of a dove, the Holy Ghost. And he said, you're going to receive that. Accept it. Accept it. Know that it's coming. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deceptions before God, with real intent, repenting of your sins, This is the doctrine, witnessing unto the Father that you are willing to take upon you the name of Jesus or Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to his word. Behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost. Then can ye speak with the tongues of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Doesn't say you will, does it? Says, then you can. Then you have received the means where you can do it. My wife's received the means. You've received the means. Pat, Michelle, you've received the means. But we can choose to do it, or we can choose not to do it. We can choose to yield our own wills to the prompting of that Holy Ghost or not. I'll read on. But behold, my blood brethren, thus cameth the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by baptism of water and have received baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that you have not known me. Now, we can do that. I believe we can do that two ways. We can deny that Jesus is the Christ. But I think he's talking about more than that, because when we receive that Holy Ghost, we receive Christ within us. And we can deny the promptings, or we can do them and follow them quickly without second guessing. I do that. I've done both ways. I've done it both ways. And for that portion where I have hesitated, isn't that denying? You look at me. Yes, it is. If you know it's from God, if you know it's prompted by that Holy Ghost and you don't act on it, think you're denying. Now, you can repent of that as you can repent of everything. But I know for a fact, through the scriptures, that if you continue to deny the promptings of the Holy Ghost, eventually, it's going to depart from you. We need to be, this is what our brother Nephi is telling these people before he dies. Just a couple chapter later, it continues. If you know, I always stop after 13th. But if you read on through the 15th chapter, he is continuing to prepare this people for when he's gone. What he considers the most important thing. I'm going to read on. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, in what? In following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. And this is more than just baptism. This is more than just baptism. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. Then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise promise which he has made, that if you enter in by the way, you should receive the Holy Ghost. And now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten in a straight and narrow path, I would ask, is all done? And the answer is nay. The answer is nay. It's not all done. We need to continue in faith, relying upon those merits of him who is mighty to save, the merits of Jesus Christ that we have received within our hearts by the reception of that Holy Ghost. And it says we must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, steadfastness in that Holy Ghost, to rely on it. It will lead us in the right direction. What are the merits of Jesus Christ? I mean, what are the merits? Yes, he died for our sins. Why? Because he was selfless. He was selfless. He wants you and I that have taken upon his name upon us to learn to be selfless. And that happens only through the gift of the Holy Ghost. You and I cannot do that. I cannot become selfless without that Holy Ghost. I am not. We are carnal by nature. We were created, and the plan was that we would be carnal and be transformed. Is it not? Yes, it is. And that happens only through the Holy Ghost. He gives us a commandment. Wherefore, you must press with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. That does not, sorry, you know it, I know it, that does not come naturally. It does not come to the natural man. You know, I'd like to think of myself as selfless. I would like to think of it, but when I start thinking about it, you know, I would gladly lay down my life for my wife and my kids and my grandkids and you guys. But then I ask myself, have I really done it? Not given up my life, but actually given up my life to choose a better way. Am I sacrificing of myself like Christ did? What did he do? Did he, when he was here, what did he do? Did he do anything for himself? Did he really do anything for himself? No, he didn't. Everything he did was for others. You know, when I was preparing this and I got to this selfless part, I was thinking of my mom. I mean, I immediately brought memories of my mom. And she wasn't a religious person in words. She read the Bible through every year, sometimes twice through every year. But she was the most selfless person I've ever known in my life. And not because she was my mom, because I didn't inherit that characteristic. But she was. And as I was, you know how your mind wanders. I remember when I was about this big, and we were poor, especially when I was this big. When I got to be this big, we weren't so poor. But when I was this big, there was a young man that was living with an acquaintance, a great aunt or something, up the street. And he had no mom, no dad. And he was looking for a mom. And he found my mom. And he was down there every day. And he was You know, he was looking for a mom. And he would come down and us boys, we thought it was great. He'd do all our chores. You know, he would do all of our chores just for mom. And there came a time when this great aunt couldn't let him stay up there. You know, he would eat down our house and everything except sleep. And he was going to go back to Drum Farm. And it's the only time I can ever remember. My mother always did her crying in private. Always. Lost her husband, lost her son. It was in private, not this time. She cried and she cried and she cried because she knew she couldn't do it. You know, my brothers and I slept in a 10 by 10 room. You know, there was not room in our house. There was food, but not room. I want to be more like that. And I know that was brought about by that Holy Ghost in my mother. That selfless act. I want to move on. I want to turn to page 211 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read about King Benjamin. He's telling us the same thing, starting with the 40th verse. He's about ready to die. He is about ready to die. So what's he going to leave this people with? I have not commanded that you could come hither, that you should fear me, or that you should think that I of myself am any more than a mortal man. But I am like as yourself, subject to all manner of infirmities of the body and mind, subject to sin. King Benjamin, subject to iniquities, just like Nephi confessed, just like Paul confessed, he's just exactly like you and I. Yet as I have been chosen by the people and was consecrated by my father and was suffered by the hand of the Lord that I should be ruler and king over this people, I have been kept and preserved by his matchless power to serve thee with all thy might and mind and strength which the Lord has granted unto me. And I say unto you that as I have suffered to spend my days in your service, even up to this time, and have not sought gold nor silver nor any manner of richness of you, neither have I suffered that you should be confined in dungeons, nor to make slaves one and another, nor to commit murders or plunder or steal or commit adultery, or even have not suffered that you should commit all manner of wickedness, and have taught you that you should keep the commandments of the Lord in all things that he has commanded you. And even I myself have labored with mine own hands that I might serve you, that you should not be laden with taxes and with all manner. You know, I remember the first time I read that before I was in the church. And I read that and I said, wait a minute. This guy sounds like he's bragging. And as I got on and I read, he wasn't bragging. He was about ready to die. He was leaving a message for this people. In 49 it says, and I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom. That's what it was all about. That you may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. That's what it's all about. Love of God and of all men. Our doctrine. That's what he expects. That's what Jesus Christ expects of you and I. I'm going to turn into the Bible. last lesson before Christ was crucified. The last lesson. It's the same lesson. 13th chapter of John. After the supper, after the Last Supper. Starting with 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God, and guess what? And he was going to God. He was about ready to die. And he knew it. Knowing that, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself, and after he poureth water into the basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. What did King Benjamin say? The same thing. The very same thing. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. We know what Peter does. And Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know afterwards. After he did it? Do you think Peter really knew it after his feet were washed? Nah. He still didn't understand. Guess when Peter understood it? After the day of Pentecost. After he received the Holy Ghost, he understood it. I'm going to read on. Peter saith to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered at him and said, if I wash not thee, thou hast no part with me. And we know Peter's answer. He said, wash my hands and wash my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. And he goes on in 15, and he says, I have given you an example. I have given you this example. His apostles, he has given me and you this example. Now, I don't recommend we go around washing each other's feet. But I do recommend, I implore, that we turn our lives into service. That we allow that Holy Ghost to work within us to where we become selfless. That we be transformed and no longer conform to what is natural. Have I done a good job? The answer is no. Do I want to do a good job? Do you want to do a good job? Do you want to become selfless? Do you want to be of service? You can't do it unless you allow that gift that he's given you, promised you and given you, unless you allow it to work. Now, I can go out, and you know the difference between works and good works, because the works of this earth are going to be burned up, aren't they? The only good works that we can do are motivated through the Holy Ghost and through his Spirit. That's the only works that are going to last. I can go out and keep those commandments. Just look like that young rich man. You remember? He said, what can I do to inherit this? Eternal life. And what did Jesus say? He said, keep the commandments. And he said, well, I've done all these commandments. Right? And he says, okay. Go. Sell all that you have. Give to the poor and follow me. And give to the poor, you're following him. And we know he walked away from that. What did these disciples say? You remember what they said? Who can be saved? They hadn't understood that message yet. They didn't know. Who can be saved? What did Christ tell them? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God that you have in your heart, it is possible for the least of us to the greatest of us to fulfill that commandment, to be selfless, to love all men. I'm going to turn to a closing scripture. I'm going to turn to Romans. And I'm going to read the 12th chapter, and you know it. Every minister has used this. If he's preached 100 times, he's probably used it 25 times in his sermon, I would guess. And I'm going to read the first three verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, to be selfless, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We only do this by loving and serving others. What can we give God besides that? By serving, we can't. We can't. This is what he expects. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to your own wants and your own mind. Do not allow that to happen, because we have the choice. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just like those disciples were renewed, they had a different mind completely after that day of Pentecost. They were transformed. They no longer allowed, Peter no longer allowed Peter to be in control. He allowed that gift to be in control. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We only know the will of God, really, through the Spirit that he's given us. I can go out just like that young rich man and do those things. Well, this seems good. This seems good. This is good. I know this is the right thing to do. But the will of God for you and your life comes through that Holy Ghost. There's only one real gift that you can give God. There's only one real gift that you can give him, and that's allow that gift that he has given you to work. To work in your life, then we are praising and glorifying God. It's exactly what he wants us to do. It's exactly what he wants us to be. Do you remember at the end of the 13th chapter? Well, not the end. John 13 that I read. What's it say? I better turn to it. John 13, 17th verse. He says, after he's given this instruction to his disciples, and he says, if ye know these things, if you know these things through the Holy Spirit, what's he say? Happy are ye, if you do them. They will not be burdens. They will give us joy and our Father in heaven joy. Thank you.